Hey, everybody. Really great show this morning. We have Spencer of Spencer Ventures on the show, and we talk about his top picks for 2024 in the investment category. I'll give you a hint. Bodago's is one of them. We go deep on Blur and Blast. We go deep on Flooring Protocol. We talk about Punk's price action as well as the meme land ecosystem. We cover a lot. It's a great, great episode. We're then later joined by Richard, the CTO of Tensor, and Speaks, the marketing lead from Tensor. This is our newest partner. We're partnering with them for the entirety of 2024. They are the leading NFT marketplace on Solana. So we dive deep into Tensor and what people should expect for 2024. Overall, it's a fantastic episode of the show. We really hope you enjoy it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, February 16th, the morning after Coinbase outperformed earnings in a big way. Really, really significant moment yesterday in crypto, in my opinion. I'm going to be very interested to discuss this with Spencer, a very special guest today. Spencer with the little beard trim. Spencer, how you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm feeling fresh. I'm feeling Gucci. What can I say? You know, life is good.
You should be, dude. Those flightless birds.
Wait a minute. We got New Jersey Spencer here. We got Spencer Soprano. I definitely like to see that. I didn't know we were being joined by a very special guest today. Anyway, before we dive in with Spencer, we have so much to discuss. We're going to be obviously discussing how Spencer Ventures is navigating the upcoming Blast and Blur launch. We're going to discuss the airdrop farming mania that we're currently in and whether Spencer is actually monitoring any upcoming mints in the next 30 days. Clemente, we have a Bodago of the day or a community shout out real quick.
Yeah, I just pinned up a tweet up top, but McChillen is going to be hosting another Bodago's community space today at 1 p.m. Eastern for anyone that wants to hang out. I'll be there. I'll be hanging out a little bit, maybe hanging out. But yeah, anyways, thank you, McChillen. And for anyone that wants to join, they're going to be having some fun. Always a joy to hang out with them.
I will do my absolute best to show up. I looked at my calendar today and it's a complete shit show, but I will try to go in between meetings. Also want to mention that we're having Richard from Tensor on the show later today. Second time he's ever been on the show. Really excited to be joined by him. And, you know, while we're discussing this, why don't we go ahead and give a quick shout out to Tensor, the leading NFT marketplace on Solana and our newest partner. You heard me talk about this partnership at length yesterday. Very, very excited about that. We'll be joined by Richard and I think actually one more team member at 10 a.m. to announce the winners of the various giveaways that we did in partnership with them, including 7 Bodagos and a Tensorian from their creator contest. So we're closing the Bodagos giveaway at 9:30. You can enter by checking out the pinned tweets. Clemente, anything to add on that? Clemente?
No, good to go. Yeah, you have just a little bit more.
Can you hear me? We're good.
Yeah, I look, I'm going to be gone for like a second. I'm going to reset my internet real quick. What a pain in the ass. One sec.
What is happening here?
All right. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Had to reset the internet. Now we're on the LAN connection. We're good to go.
All right, here we go. I thought it was me. I was like freaking out.
It's
like,
me.
We're just like, wait a minute.
It's pretty preposterous, honestly. Like how many times? Anyway, we're not going to dive into the internet. Spencer, one thing I wanted to talk to you about quickly is that, you know, pattern recognition is a really, really significant part of investing as a whole, even outside of crypto. The people that are able to recognize patterns often position themselves the best. Clemente has actually been getting better and better at pattern recognition, and he identified a pattern that we thought was super significant. Clemente, could you pull up that graphic that you had from the kind of pattern recognition that was pointing out the success? So look at this. Look at this trend right here, this pattern that we see. We're seeing that some of the biggest names, the most successful people in the crypto ecosystem have one common trait. Spencer, what do you make of this? You're muted, buddy.
I'm going to tell you, it's about efficiency. You got to understand, consumers of fine efficiency. When you start balding, just shave it. That's all it is. If you got other stuff going on, you're hustling, you're maybe a Gucci man yourself, you're out there, you know, you're grinding, you're in the arena, you're trying things, you got a choice, right? When you're going bald as a guy, you can go, there's ways to fix it. You can go all the way to, where is it, like Greece and get the hair transplant.
Turkey.
That's where it is. You come back from Turkey, everyone on the flight got the hair transplant, got the, and you can do it, right? But it's a lot of work. You can do the pills, they got them, you know, but, or you can be a real man, decide it's time to shave your head, And that's why you become a titan of industry.
I love it. I'm all about efficiency, and I feel like in my future, there's going to be a shaved head. So I'm ready for it. I'm excited for it. There's also a case to be made that you can more directly get vitamin D to your brain. I don't know if there's any scientific backing of that at all, but one commenter said something about it, and I thought it was funny. Anyway, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this show. We have a weather report that's going to be read by Easy, a rare weather report from Easy. Easy, please take it away.
We are here, ready to break down the weather on this beautiful, electric Friday. And boy, do we got a lot to break down for you. ETH market volume at $26.7 million United States dollars. And Tensor has officially led all marketplaces for NFT trading volume today. That is what we love to see, ladies and gentlemen. Solana market volume sitting pretty at $10 million United States dollars. Market leaders. Moonbirds are down 25% to 1.4 ETH. So all Nick's buy is not looking too pretty anymore. He should have dumped it yesterday after the spontaneous rally before JJ's tweet seems to have marked the absolute top.
It's going to 3 ETH. I'll be back later.
All right. We all smoke copium, my friend. It is totally fine on this fine Friday. No worries there. The hopium gas is fluctuating through Nick's bloodstream. DigiDaiGaku's up 17% to 4.9 ETH, only 75% off their all-time high of 20 ETH. Mad Lads are up 7% to 175, making a new all-time high in United States dollar value, knocking on the door of 20,000 US dollars. Bitcoin D-Gods are up 50% to 0.52 Bitcoins on the back of Frank tweeting aggressively about the Bitcoin D-Gods. Bitcoin Puppets down 14% to 0.06 BTC, meaning that the super-packed Bodogos ETF is officially in the red. Over the past 24 hours, MARMs on Solana have minted out a 5,555 supply for 2 to 2.5 SOL each, pending pre-sale and public sale. And the collection reached a peak of 5 SOL before pulling back, now holding a 4.3 SOL floor. MARMs have seen over 15,000 Solana volume, making 85,000 US dollars in royalties and raised over 1.3 million after the collection sellout. Coinbase are winners of the day after shattering expectations on their Q4 earnings report and reporting a 41% increase in Q4 revenue to 954 million United States dollars, showing that retail users could potentially be ripping back in droves to the cryptocurrency market. The stock is up 16% pre-market to $190 and is up 42% in the last 30 days, almost as electric as the Say price action. Michael Saylor's MicroStrategy has also been a top performer, up 49% in the last month. Over on the airdrops, the lending platform Arcade.xyz announced a Clash of Claims, not to be confused with Clash of Clans, and their upcoming ARCD token, ARCD. Money sign ARCD, for those that would like to spell it and do a little bit of investigation. And give away 3% of their token supply on a first-come, first-served basis to 4,000 wallets, including holders of Pudgy Penguins, Sappy Seals, Tensorians, Mad Lads, Bitcoin Puppets, and more, starting Wednesday, February 21st. Lastly, while the crypto leaders held steady yesterday, that beautiful, beautiful token that we all know and love, Say, reached $1 and moved into the top 40 cryptocurrencies in market cap. And Sam Altman's WorldCoin is up 78% in the last 7 days to $4.40 with a market cap of $560 million. It's an honest, hard-working market cap considering he's trying to raise $7 trillion, I think was the number. So, hey, listen, if we start to get that valuation, maybe, just maybe, WorldCoin has some more room to run. But back to the studio.
Sam Altman had a funny tweet where he said, fuck it, let's make it 8, because, you know, after the video AI stuff came out, he's pretty funny for that one. That was definitely funny. Fantastic weather report as usual, Easy. The Nifty Daily Digest is posted to X platform every morning. It's pinned up top and it's emailed to anyone that subscribes at thenifty.com. Top stories from the Daily Digest. Leonidas of Ordinals and Bitcoin fame has asked for 15 donations of 0.15 Bitcoin to fund the expected cost of inscribing the upcoming drop of 112,383 runestones. So this was created to reward people who participated in the first year of Ordinals protocol. It will be airdropped to wallets who held 3 or more inscriptions prior to a snapshot in January. Clemente is going to share the wallet eligibility link on Twitter and on YouTube so you can check your wallet. He has it pulled up on the screen right now. Mad Lad Skulls DAO has converted 30% of its USDC to Bonk and locks it up after 3 months, citing that Bonk was the only meme coin supporter of the ecosystem when the Sol ecosystem needed it the most. So it only makes sense that we chose Bonk as our first investment decision to support. This is also coming after the news that Bonk is going to be listed on the biggest European, I guess, is it a trading app? Is it a crypto exchange? Revolut. Signal was telling us about it yesterday. It also comes after Joe McCann came on the Bitcoin show earlier this week and really kind of put his foot down and explained how bullish he was on Bonk. It prompted me to turn $1,000 into Bonk. So we'll have to see what happens there. Next story, Doodles and G-Shock's watch public sale went live today at 9 a.m. Eastern time, I suppose, featuring a $169 price tag that comes with a redeemable digital collectible. I bought G-Shocks before. That's a normal price for a G-Shock. Looks pretty cool to me. Next story, Backpack Exchange has recorded $600 million in 24-hour volume. Damn, didn't know that. Damn, very nice. Last story, the meme coin winner of the day was Sora, as the token was launched right after OpenAI's text. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I just have to stop. This is the first time I read this story. Basically, whatever news event happens, expect a ticker. Just expect the ticker. It doesn't matter what happens. Expect the ticker. The token was launched right after OpenAI's text-to-video model named Sora launched, and the token is up to an $8.6 million market cap. The shitcoin people were all over this one. Would you look at that? Those are the stories from the Daily Digest and the Weather Report. Let's dive in with Spencer of Spencer Ventures fame. I think at this point, the undeniable top-performing NFT fund manager of 2023 and 2024, I guess you could say. Spencer, you said that your top conviction plays, you stated this, for 2024, there were seven plays. Pudgy Penguins, I don't think anybody's surprised at that. CryptoPunks goes without saying that that's like kind of a classic pick in the NFT space. Of course, Staked Blur slash Blast Bridge, I have a lot of questions for you about this. Bodagos, that's our collection. Meme Coin, so the token from the meme, you know, meme land ecosystem, Ethereum, liquid Ethereum token, and FLC, a token that you've been quoted as saying is the most beautifully structured crypto token, or one of them that you've seen. So first question, why meme? Meme land's been pretty quiet in the last couple of months. They usually are after a big announcement sprint. Go ahead.
I'll actually revise this. When I said dollar sign meme, I meant like meme ecosystem.
Okay,
broad, I actually think the best. Yeah. I think the best play on dollar sign meme is actually probably Captains versus Spot.
Okay,
like the Captains is probably the thing there.
You know, undervalued, look, like, to the current meme coin allocation that they still have.
Yes, that exactly. And again, you know, there will obviously be dilution as that meme coin is released into the wild. So, you know, they should be somewhat undervalued. I think they're just a little bit dramatically undervalued. And thing is this too, is like, you know, watching Ray, Char, and team operate, they are slow and methodical. Let me say that again. They are slow and methodical. They are slow. And so I don't take them not launching something for a while as them not working on anything. It's them being slow and methodical. Now, one of the things that you'll have to de-risk in your own brain is, are you okay with a slow and methodical, let me repeat that, slow team? And the answer might be no. You have 7-minute attention spans and you're the average crypto trader, and that's fine, right? But like, I think if you have a longer attention span, a longer time horizon, you know, the chance they deliver something quite good is good. And I think there's just no expectations from like 99% of people who hold the coin dollar sign meme. I would say, because of how quickly they got exchange listed, et cetera, that like the percentage of people who own dollar sign meme, who know nothing about the meme land ecosystem, who are not even anticipating Stakeland, who are not even anticipating you know, other products to be launched, like there's a lot more legs here in a way that I think most people who hold it just think it's a shitcoin, right? And it maybe it is, right? But it may not be. And so the big difference there is, as they do begin to release any products versus no products, that the world we live in today is the no product meme land world. As they begin to release any products, I think there's a lot more positive catalysts for discussion. And as we've seen in the market recently, we had a $17 billion market cap coin launched yesterday with crazy unlock schedules for the team, right? Like, we are in a market where it is potential, it is possible to go above a $2 billion market cap. When Meme launched, that didn't seem possible. It seemed like they hit the upper threshold of what a new coin could launch for. But we're in a market today that is vastly different than then. And this is one of those coins that could have a resurgence in interest. And if it does in a major way on the exchanges, the sky is the limit, right? Like, I think people have forgotten what the upper bound of a coin is in a true bull market.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to point out, for example, Spencer, I'd love to know what you think of this. This is a little off book here, but when we had Joe McCann on the Bitcoin show the other day, so he's big on dog tokens. He literally trademarked the phrase recession or dog coins to a trillion, right? So it's funny to hear the way he thinks about these things, but he pointed out Shiba Inu, SHIB, went to $48 billion market cap at the top of the last cycle, which is completely insane to me. And right now, Bonk, for example, is under $1 billion. When you think about, does that SHIB market cap play any role in the way that you think about this meme coin, token?
Let's look at what Shiba Inu was, right? Shiba Inu was a Doge proxy last cycle. So we knew Elon and everyone was pumping Doge. But the thing, if you know anything about Doge, you know that Doge's tokenomics are totally fucked.
Yeah.
Like, the whole fundamental design of the coin is like wackadoodle, right?
Yeah.
And they're not building anything. And so Shiba came in and said, we're fixing the tokenomics of Doge and we're building a metaverse, right? And as you guys remember last cycle, the metaverse narrative was strong. And so it turns out meme coin underperforms meme coin that hopped on a narrative, right? And for Shiba, that was metaverse narrative.
Yep.
And so this is why I think meme has legs. I don't know as much about Bonk. I can't comment one way or the other there. I'm not a Solana meme coin expert. I've got some Miro. I've got some random meme coin bags, but Bonk's not one of them, and I don't know anything about it. All I know about meme is I think meme has the potential to actually have one of the narratives behind it in a way such as like how Shiba Inu had like the Shibaverse or whatever behind it last cycle, and that allowed it to piggyback on a larger coin. Now, I think a lot of people do terrible math because of the price of Shiba. Right. And because of the price of Doge, wherein like Doge was the archetypal meme coin of that cycle that retail like piled into. And I think that that is hard to impossible to replicate in much the same way that I think that people often do terrible math based on the market cap of CryptoPunks. It's like one thing that we've seen for certain is no matter what new ecosystem, new chain, be it Bitcoin ordinals, be it even Solana, right? And I think Solana is probably the best example. There isn't anything on Solana that feels like punks, right? And that's fine. It's acceptable. It's just like you have to be on a different narrative than trying to be a proxy to what there was, right? And so I don't think there is another Doge. The other Doge is Shiba. And like this is a relic of when those launched and what they were to the ecosystem. I think new coins, you know, you can't look at this, oh, this should flip Doge, this should flip Shiba. That was this like tired narrative from last cycle. Everyone's like, oh, like this, like, if you want to do the math to make it look like anything can go to infinity, you just tell me that it could be half the market cap of Doge and it's a $20 billion coin, right? Like, no. The stronger narrative is what's happening to say right now is an all L1 where you're like, okay, ETF narrative, crazy narrative. Turns out Bitcoin inflows are nutso. And also turns out like most of the issue with the Bitcoin inflows from the beginning days was like, hey, there's these crazy outflows from like Grayscale Bitcoin, GBTC, right? And so, okay, turns out this ETF narrative is the real deal, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, you've got Bitcoin, obvious, right? Already happened. ETH, already filed. Obviously, the next one.
Filed by BlackRock, done deal. Done deal.
You've got, obviously, Solana next.
Well, but we had James Seifert from Bloomberg on the show. 0% chance in his mind that there's a Solana ETF approved this year.
Right. But does he say that that's because there's another one coming before it?
Well, no, he said that what was the exact reason why? I don't remember off the top of my head.
But
I think because there's already a futures ETF, perhaps, of Ethereum. Was that it?
if we're talking about Solana, he said it was because it was listed as a security and
in the SEC's document.
Yeah, he said all the court cases had to be had to go through the system before there was a chance of that happening, right. And he didn't think that was happening this year.
Fair enough. But I still say, like, in terms of hierarchy of, like, coins that could be ETFs, right? I think L1s are probably... we might start to see L2s creep in there, but, like, look, is this a one-year time horizon, five-year time horizon, 10-year time horizon? But, like, thus far, we've only talked about L1s. And so if you continue down that list, and even maybe for the reason you just mentioned, Say is better than Solana because it doesn't have the same legal baggage, right? But, like, not unreasonable to think that if this category really opens up, that, like, Say is on that shortlist and Say feels further ahead than other alt L1s, like, in the pecking order.
Well, Say is definitely looking like a darling right now. It kind of checks a lot of boxes. It's new. It's only 4 months old. There's this technical narrative of it being a modular blockchain. Their unit bias is in full effect. It's less than a dollar. People love that. I was literally talking to a realtor who was asking me questions about the crypto markets. No interest from him in buying any Bitcoin. No interest in buying Ethereum. To my surprise, he also wasn't very interested in buying Solana. He referenced that he remembered it from last cycle. He looked at the price and it was like $90+. So he was kind of like, I don't know about that. He wanted to sink his teeth into Say. So you are going to attract different types of buyers with Say, and it's doing quite well right now. I guess switching gears a little bit, we're going to talk about FLC and ERC 404 protocol. But real quick, on the staked Blur and Blast bridge, like if you were going to try to get exposure to that today, February 16th, right? Because we're like months into this, right? A lot, you know, OSF put $1 million in, I think, the first day of the Blast bridge being open. What would you do today if you were interested in getting exposure to Blur and Blast? And would you do anything?
Look, I think the real question is this, is what are the risks here? If you look at where things are trading, Blast is probably a $10 to $20 billion FDV coin. Like, I think that's where you got to start, right? Which is juicy. Good. It's nice. I think you have a couple of approaches, right? The big risk is that there is an issue with the bridge back. And so I think it's actually a really reasonable take to wait till the bridge back is live before making your play here, right? That being said, you might have a more competitive landscape when that happens because there's probably a lot of capital waiting for the bridge back to exist. But at this point, you know, we're so close to that opening that, like, it may not be worth bridging today, but you know what? It's also not a bad argument to do it, right? Like, really one of the big arguments that I've seen too for the bridge to Blast as the thing to do is the potential to get Blur airdrops from people who are airdropping to stakers, right? Or to bridgers. I think you don't lose out on that if you wait till the bridge comes back. Could be wrong, but I think that you're, like, pretty good there. And, you know, it notionally, if you look at it, right, there's all, like, if you remove that one risk, I think really it's like there's no reason not to. If you just have ETH sitting around, right, no reason not to have, like I'll tell you something that I think about daily is the ETH that I just have sitting in wallets that I should have just bridged, like, immediately, right?
True Blast.
Yeah, wishing that you had done it day one is not a good excuse for doing it day 100, right? Like,
for not doing it day 100?
Yeah. You didn't do it day one, and you're like, you know, Mando did it day one. All right, do it day 7. Do it day 10. You know, like, that attitude's going to keep you from, like, getting the bit that you could have gotten, right? As it pertains to staked Blur, I think that's a much more interesting, maybe risky play. I'll say, like, I, in January, increased significantly my staked Blur position. At, like, I think 50 or 60 cents, whatever it was then. And I was like, yeah, I kind of expect the price to go down. The price has gone up. It's crazy, right? Like, if you think about that play, it's like, oh, you've earned all of these points and the price has gone up. You know, what happens to the price of Blur when Blast launches? I don't know, right? If Blast is a $20 billion FDV or $10 billion FDV, you got to think, like, Blur still maintains something. Its own value, and then the question is really, like, what is the share of money from one to the other, right? There's, like, I think it number is, like, there's a Dune dashboard that shows this, but, like, how much staked Blur is there? There's something like $800 million of staked Blur. And then there's like probably close to like $2 billion of like Blast Bridged, right? So if you assume that they get similar sized airdrops, which is a pretty bold assumption to make, but like, do you want to be competitive against X hundreds of millions of dollars that is staked Blur? Or do you want to be competitive with however many hundreds of millions of dollars of staked ETH on Blast? Yeah, so there's only $300 million staked Blur, right? And this is like versus like $2 billion of bridged ETH to Blur. And this is also Blast. And this is also important too, because ETH has gone up a lot more than Blur has in price. Although Blur has been recently trading as like an ETH beta. So every time ETH runs, Blur runs. And it's been a really strong ETH beta that's also lagged a little bit, which is a great thing to trade.
Yeah.
I think that like this is my contrarian take. This is a very reasonable way to have exposure. Now, I will also go on record to say that I think the best exposure is Blur points. And if you are farming Blur air, like the prior airdrops, that is probably the least competitive, because you're probably competing with like $10 million or $20 million of liquidity versus competing with $300 million versus competing with 1.9 or whatever billions of dollars. That being said, we don't know the coin allocations. So like, this is all like, I have all three. I'm sitting here going, I don't know what the right approach is, but I know what the wrong approach is not being exposed to this. And the wrong approach is not being exposed to it because of decision paralysis, because of not realizing what the correct optimal thing is, right? Like, if you're just looking at all of these coins dropping, you say, you know what, Starkware, I don't know how you farm that. And that's me. I don't know how you farm Starkware. That wasn't something that I was like caring about at all. I looked at my thing. I had my 7 out of 4 check marked, and then they rugged me. I don't know what happened, but like, it's that one. $20 billion market cap. Crazy, right? You know, we've got like probably ZK Sync coming up. We've got Layer Zero coming up at some point. Like, we've got Blast. If you're NFT native and you don't have Blast exposure, you played yourself. Like, this is clearly the biggest airdrop coming like in the immediate future in. And it's the one where it's curated towards you as an NFT trader. If he's full time and you don't have exposure to this, like, you really should question your understanding of the space, because this is like clearly like the biggest thing that's happening. And you should have this huge advantage. Whereas like all the like DeFi degens, the old heads had their Starkware, like whatever's up the wazoo. You should get the Blast airdrop. They should look at you and say, I don't know how this dingus who's been trading these JPEGs on the internet got so much Blast and I got nothing, right? That's how this should end up. And if it doesn't end up that way, then you got to really like look in the mirror yourself back at you, say, what you doing here? You know?
Fair. And so last thing on this, you talked about the risk of, you know, bridging back from Blast. I understand that that is definitively a risk. It would be preposterous to say that it's not a risk. However, do we really think that the Blur team, that Pac-Man, is gonna like fuck that up to the point that it's a material issue?
I think don't think about that, right? I think about what's the value of exploiting that, right? What is the level of what degrees would a malicious actor go to? Like, think about it this way. There is almost $2 billion sitting in a contract. If yeah. I'm a malicious smart contract developer, that's the thing I'm looking at, right? Yeah. The moment that launches, you can believe all of the smartest people in the entire world that are bad actors are looking exactly at that contract. And it is much easier to try and exploit than try and protect, right? And we have seen time and time again, and it doesn't matter the size, right? Doesn't matter the team. Large smart contracts have exploits on the bridge. That is when it happens.
Right? $600 million hack for the Ronin bridge from Sky Mavis Axie Infinity ecosystem in
2022. And that was a strong team, right?
Yeah. Strong team. And North Korea hacked it.
This is North fucking Korea. This is the thing, right? This is not a commentary on what I think of the abilities of the Blur team at all. I would have this concern for anything launching. And it is a real concern. And it's why I hesitate to say it's just strictly right to have ETH there, right? Because I don't want to say that, because you are taking some smart contract risk, right? And one of the things that I think is core to your evolution as an investor in crypto is understanding how to price smart contract risk.
Fair. I mean, look, there was also the Akutar smart contract issue. It wasn't a hack. It was an error. And it actually technically got White Hat hacked. And now there was 30 million locked into it at the time. I don't know what it's worth now, but there's a whole bunch of ETH locked in that contract. And obviously those were the funds that were meant to operate that business.
Even Curve got exploited, right? Curve is such a huge fundamental piece of DeFi, right? Like, this is just part of the space we operate in.
It just is. So, okay, thank you for that very in-depth, kind of just analysis of Blur and Blast. Moving on. Oh, go ahead, Clemente.
Yeah, just real last question, Spencer. So, obviously, we have the mainnet going live for Blast in a little over a week at the end of this month. And one of the things that we've been doing is exploring these protocols that are launching on it.
Yeah.
There is a lot. And what a lot of people that I've been following, their goal is... They literally, their stance is, I am spending my entire day exploring and farming airdrops on these protocols because there's going to be like points that they are doing. They're going to be launching a token on top of it. So I guess for you, like from a fund perspective, how are you approaching the allocation of your time into Blast as a whole versus like everything else that's going on, given the opportunities that are available right now?
So I'll say this has been my exploration of the Blast like ecosystem has been a couple of things. I think it's tough to suss out today what will make a Blast team successful, right? And so there's clearly a lot of stuff going on in Blast. I've definitely put a concerted effort into attempting to dive into a lot of it. And I will say I was talking with a friend of mine who's one of the largest investors in this space, most active, you know him on chain, yesterday. And the number one question he asked, we were just talking about deal flow, was, what are you seeing on Blast? This is like the number one question. And one of the reasons that I think this is the number one question discussed behind the scenes on the like larger investors is because it's so confusing, the ecosystem. Like, what are the different things to look at? I think we will have more clarity over time. And I think that a lot of the best launches on Blast will be available. We're seeing there's stuff that you can farm now, but I'm not convinced that the best stuff is the stuff you can farm now. Like, probably the best stuff is stuff that's distributed to people who are staked, right? Like, the winner of Blast effectively will be people who can court the ETH that's already bridged, right? And so, who has made it into the view of the people like the Mandos and OSFs of the world who bridged like 1,000 ETH, right? Who does that? I don't know.
Spencer, have you done any due diligence onto the things being built on Blast? Like, are you starting to eye anything over there?
Yeah, I'll tell you one that jumps out at me, which is Blastopians. So I don't know if you guys know about Blur. I think it's not Blur Pro. It's the Creed Alpha like crew, right? I don't know if you know this like corner of the internet, but they basically developed like a thing where you could farm Blur, like Blur farming bots that you could use you could use their Blur farming bots, right? And they were pretty good. And like it's these like young guys out of Europe that like I think $10 million worth of Blur airdrop was farmed using their bots last cycle. And they are making Blastopians. And so that was one that I thought was like a really Blur native crew, a Blur native crew that crushed the last Blur trade of farming. I think that the guy, he goes by ESK, who designed this protocol, got, I think, $100,000 airdrop off Blur off 2 ETH worth of farming. Like, he was just farming with 2 ETH. Crazy last airdrop. And so I think that's kind of, to me, like the people's project, because I like what they did with Blur, where like they were running like basically Hanwei's bot, but like you could run it. And so to me, that was always like the people's airdrop, like Blur airdrop farming. And so I like the narrative of that. You're going to also have, there's a couple of projects that are like launched by Machi, right? Those are going to have a lot of liquidity behind them. That's like the Machi project, you know. You're going to have some other things. I think there's a pretty wide range in what I'm seeing. There's definitely a lot of people who like threw random shit together to put on Blast. They're like, oh, like Blast, like money, like something together. Here's the thing. And so I think like, there's a lot of that in the 3,000 teams. You got to think that that's like 2,000 of them at least. But we'll have to see. It's also gonna be interesting to see, like, I think there's a very strange relationship between applying for Big Blast and being an existing protocol that may in many ways be competitive, right? A big question for a lot of NFTFi protocols is, do you play the Blast game? I think a lot of them chose yes, but many of them chose no, right? And so we'll see if it's going to be new stuff that does well or other stuff. We'll just have to see.
Well, we'll have to see. I don't want to spend too much time on this. I want to talk about Flooring Protocol for a moment. So first question, what do you think of the ERC-404 protocol in comparison to the FLC token and the ability to provide fractionalization natively without the need to actually use Flooring Protocol? What do you think of that?
I think it's really interesting. I think this is an example of Flooring Protocol may have been too good such that it like made its
own inspired primitive. People.
Yeah, it's like what if you pre-Flooring Protocol'd your NFT is basically what ERC-404 is, right?
Yeah.
I think that you look at this in a couple of ways. One is like, is this a risk to Flooring Protocol, right? But you could also see this as like, is Flooring Protocol poised to be the market leader in 404 because it already has all the infrastructure to like deal with the like Flooring Protocol to me feels like months ahead. And you saw also even like Wasabi launch a 404 marketplace. Like the people who work with Flooring Protocol and around Flooring Protocol are months ahead of everyone else in contemplating like how do you optimize the experience of interacting with something that is effectively fractionalized. And so you even saw a Flooring Protocol through their launch pad launch like a 404 NFT. I don't think it's obviously bullish or bearish one way or the other, but I do think it's like an example of where like if I look at Blur versus Flooring Protocol, right, which I'm not even sure these are really competitive in general, but they're two of the highest volume marketplace-y things in NFTs. Like Blur would have to do a lot of changes to be able to work with a 404 NFT directly on Blur. Flooring Protocol, it's like a click of a button because it's like it's traded in Uniswap pools too. Like it fits really nicely into what they've done. And so I don't think it's like there was a moment where I thought, wow, is this a Flooring Lab killer? And I just don't think that's the case.
Fair. So one thing on Flooring Protocol, after you came on the show last time, I went on it because I was, I found it compelling that I could have proper fractional exposure to Pudgy Penguins, for example, right? Where I was like, okay, I already have a big Pudgy Penguins bag, but I've long wanted fractionalization of NFTs in a proper way because it just makes sense. Like if I buy stocks, I use Robinhood and I don't care about the stock price. I just care about how much money I'm putting in. And so I'll just say, hey, give me $600 of MicroStrategy, give me $800 of Coinbase. I don't care about the share price because it actually doesn't matter. And so I've long wanted proper fractionalization of NFTs. What I'll say about Flooring Protocol from my user experience is it certainly feels like a very robust and well put together platform. I think you'd have to be a huge hater to say that it's not. Look, it's more complicated than other platforms. It's not so complicated that if you really wanted to figure out how to do everything on it, you couldn't. But there is a certain degree of time commitment. And to me, the hard part of investing, the hard part of making a play is making the decision. The annoying part is the admin that goes with the decision. If you're buying an NFT on Blur, there's virtually no admin. You click on buy and you buy the thing. It's not a big deal, right? There's admin with this airdrop farming, right? I still haven't done the little pudgy bridge to the 50 different blockchains that I'm supposed to get the airdrop, and I have to do it. But it's like last night, I'd put it on my calendar for 7 p.m. I worked all day on the computer until 7 p.m. And I was like, now I got to click buttons for an hour to send my little pudgies all around the blockchain universe. It's just very hard for me to get myself to do that. On the Flooring Protocol side, there's a lot of gas fees that end up going into the action that it takes to do the proper, like, you know, liquidity stuff for like Mu PPG, which is the fractional Pudgy Penguin token. And you have to, you know, also have FLC token. How much of a power user do you have to be to really take advantage of this thing? And do you think that retail will really jump into flooring protocol? Because like for me, I was just kind of like, oh man, it's like a lot of time for me to put in because it's not my job to do this stuff. I understand it's your job It's your job to talk about this stuff with other really involved people and then go and take the action and watch that action very closely after the fact. For like your average person, I just don't know how many people will put in the commitment to go this angle, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
So this is my view on this. I totally agree with you. I think a lot of the FP.io website is not super friendly to retail. I think there's a number of ways you can look at the ramifications of that. My view of the success and failure of flooring protocol is its success to be adopted as a primitive. And I think that when you look at primitives, the retail experience exists in different ways. We saw Woo Exchange listing the micro tokens on the exchange. If you want to buy micro, I think it's BAYC and maybe also Pudgy Penguins, it's definitely BAYC on Woo Exchange, and you're a retail user, that is a click of a button experience. And I think over time, we will see more exchanges adopt micro tokens as a way to allow you to get direct exposure to NFTs on an exchange, right? That has nothing to do with that interface. When you're trading, as a matter of fact, usually when I trade micro tokens, I go to CowSwap. I don't use the interface on Flooring Protocol's website, right? When it comes to liquidity providing, that is a complicated interface, but it's also a complicated thing that you're doing, right? And so it's not for everyone to do that part of it. And I think that that's like that's the thing here is like, you see things like Wasabi using micro tokens as a primitive to allow them to do something emergent on top of it, right? It's on that second layer to create the interface component. I think if you look at the strengths and weaknesses of the Flooring Lab team, like they are very technically savvy team who have done something very elegant in many technical ways. But if you look at like even the fundamental thing going on here, like they named their micro tokens starting with a Greek letter. Like this is not a first and foremost effort to be accessible to retail, right? This is a strength and a failure of theirs, as many have. Like every protocol, every team you interact with has a strength and a failure, right? And I think the strength here is that they are a very technically minded team. The failure is that they are a very technically minded team. And so when you look at the goal of being a primitive is probably well served by being technically minded. The goal of having an easy retail experience on the platform is not well served by that, right? And so I agree with you. It's not the best retail experience in terms of many of the functions of Flooring Lab. But that's just a ramification of part of why the rest of it's elegant, right? Is like they did things where they looked at the trade-off between elegance of technical execution and ease of retail user experience, and they went elegance, you know, the Elmo meme of like the pile of coke where he goes, right? Like that. But with.
Fair. And it's actually funny you bring up that meme because I was actually having a thought last night that I wanted to get over to Clemente that when FTX went down, we did a Twitter space and I want to dig up this Twitter space from that time. You were on it, Spencer. You know, the whole squad was on it. And I went on record immediately saying that this had nothing to do with Bitcoin as like I would. And I just went off about why this totally doesn't matter for Bitcoin. And because FTX had just went down and the price of Bitcoin crashed to $16,000, everybody on stage was like, this is bad for Bitcoin. It's bad. It's bad. I was like, yo, this has nothing to do with Bitcoin. And Spencer, you like got frustrated that I wasn't talking about the FTX thing. And you posted a meme that said biggest event to happen in crypto in the past 5 years. And then the snorting is snorting just Bitcoin. And you're like, this is how PO is approaching this show or something. Wicked funny meme. Anyway, just want to bring it up. Real quick. So just to kind of circle back, we have another 14 minutes with you, Spencer, which I'm very excited about. You said that your top conviction plays for 2024, seven plays, Pudgy Penguins, Punks, Staked Blur and Blast Bridge. We already talked about that in depth. Bodagos, that's our collection, Meme Ecosystem, Ethereum itself and FLC token. If you're taking action today on these seven things, I think I have some ideas on what action you'd take today. But if you could do a soft rank, I'm not asking you to pin these things against each other, but a soft rank of like how you would approach action today, I'd love to know. The reason I ask is, It's February 16th. We're halfway through February. We just saw the earnings reports come out for MicroStrategy and Coinbase. No surprise, they were absolutely electric. We're expecting an Ethereum ETF approval this year. If you think that BlackRock's going to lose on that when they've only ever had one ETF rejected out of several hundred, I do think that you're out to lunch. Also, we're waiting on the Bitcoin miners' earnings. And this is coming after a Q4 that had a huge run-up in Bitcoin price ahead of the ETF, and it had an insane uptick in ordinals activity, which is directly correlated to miner performance. So if you think that the miners aren't going to outperform earnings, then you're also out to lunch, in my opinion. And so I'm just wondering, like, pressing buttons here does feel like you're pressing buttons a few months too late, but at the same time, we're 60 days out from the Bitcoin halving. I think everybody expects Bitcoin to break new all-time highs this year. So in my mind, anything you do before new all-time high Bitcoin is just gravy, because after new all-time high Bitcoin is when things start to really cook. I want to understand Spencer's thought process and strategy when it comes to taking action, halfway through February 2024.
Yeah. And I think, like, what you have to think about is not which is out of all these things, what's the right thing? It's what's the right thing for me and my risk tolerance and what I want to be making a play on, right? I think if you are just all in on like NFTs and meme coins and stuff and you don't have a pile of ETH, like, you're doing it wrong. Like, you should have a pile of ETH. One of the reasons not only is the expected price appreciation, but the opportunities that might appear. Like, we are mostly seeing stuff right now that was built in the bear market, like, play out. We have yet to hit the part of the market where new stuff kind of where a new mint goes from like a 0.1 ETH mint to 2 ETH in a day. Like, that part of the market feels like it's coming back, and you want to have liquidity when that happens. Right. Fair. And as a matter of fact, too, like, I think, you had a tweet or a subtweet, someone where like people are like, people don't understand what happens when Bitcoin dominance really rips, right? Like there's a world where, like, it's been a while since like all alts have sold off into a strong rally on the majors, right? And so, like, you want to be in ETH. There's also a lot of great ETH yield products, right? Like, ETH yields ETH now, which it didn't used to, and goes up in price. Incredible, right? So, like, there's a huge argument that, like, you're just sitting in cash and you don't, like, have ETH. It's not ETH or this. It's at least ETH and then also maybe something else, right? I feel very strongly about that.
I'm essentially operating on a Bitcoin standard in my life right now, which is the same thing that you're saying, only it's with Bitcoin. I'm just all in on Bitcoin and IBIT as like a baseline, because I'm just like, well, these things are going to go up. I understand, you need to have liquidity, but I have liquidity like from my job, right? Like from my paycheck, right? And I understand a lot of people just have a bunch of cash sitting around, but if I'm not trying to buy real estate and I know that Bitcoin is going to hit a new all-time high this year, I'm just kind of operating with that standard myself. Anyway, continue, Spencer.
Yeah. So, okay. What are the things plays on, right? FLC, for example, we just talked about. FLC play on FLC, the token, is not exchange listed yet. It's the second largest NFT marketplace by volume, and Blur has this incredible catalyst with Blast coming up.
Yep.
You got to think that, like, there's a big exchange listing in the future of FLC. And if you want to make a bet on a coin that like isn't exchange listed that likely will be exchange listed, I think FLC is like a reasonable bet there.
And what is the easiest way to do that? Can you just go to Uniswap and get FLC?
Yeah, just go Uniswap, trade for
Sushi
FLC.
Swap, whatever.
Sushi swap. I would go to something like Matcha or something like CowSwap. These DEX aggregators tend to be better, more capital efficient. You don't get sandwiched as much on them. But yeah, it's not crazy. I mean, it has a pretty high market cap, but it's like, you don't think of that as good or a bad thing, right? It's a high market cap. It's a really high market cap for a coin that's not exchange listed. So, like, what would an exchange listing do, and how juicy does this look to an exchange? You know, then do you expect that like there is access to something like a Binance for them? I don't know, right? Like, it just seems like a pretty easy play to make, right? Pudgies, what's the play on Pudgies? Pudgies is like, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious they're going to flip apes. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But like, if you want to just own like a top NFT in the cycle, and this airdrop narrative to them is so real. The airdrop, I mean, Dimension airdrop was literally like, I think this price right now is $10,000 a Pudgy.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely bananas. And we already see stuff like Arcade, et cetera. Like, the number.
There's more.
It's just more, right? And like, you know, this, we haven't even seen like Web2 brands coming into the space. I remember when there was like a Prada airdrop to like, or your claim if you owned an ape, like there was just all this stuff last cycle for owning an ape, and that returned a lot of the value of apes. I think like if you're looking for just like a buy it and forget it NFT play, like it's just pudgies, and like it's kind of always been, and it like even the bolder take is that at 20 ETH it still is, and I think it is, right? It's like
Spencer, it's just so funny. I was at dinner with my friend that has one pudgy penguin. He's had it for way longer than me, bought it for way less than what I did. And honestly, when he first was so obsessed with it, I kind of didn't get it just because I hadn't done my sort of deep dive research. And then now the price is getting so high that he's like, dude, this is like a significant, it's starting to become a significant amount of my net worth. Like, where do you really think these things go to? And I don't pay attention to the price, right? I go, so at the time, it was like a few weeks ago, I go, how much is the pudgy in US dollar terms right now, because I just genuinely didn't know. I was like, how much is it? He goes, it's $35,000, and no hesitation I go, that's it? I was like, it's only 35 grand? And he just starts laughing. He's like, you know what you're saying, right? A picture of a penguin on the internet is 35 grand, and you're having this immediate reaction of that's all. I was like, dude, I mean, if I look at the previous cycle and if I bet that the broader NFT market is going to have more liquidity, and I look at the teams, Pudgy Penguins, you know, I look at Tensor, I look at ourselves, and I look at the fact that this time around, instead of like conceptually like NFTs could be this, the project could do this, they could do this, it's actually not they could do this, it's they're doing it, right? And they're executing an actual playbook at this point. I just feel like we're going to absolutely cook. I think it's going to take, you know, 15 months, 16 months to see the full explosion of it. That's a long time in crypto. I mean, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, we were still saying like, oh man, this is a bear market, you know? Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, and this is another thing too, is like one of the interesting things on this list is like the thing I honestly feel the most like uncertain about is actually punks. Like, which is a weird thing to say, is like, is a punk really worth three pudgies, right? And is a punk really worth the like not yielding from staked ETH that it's worth,
right?
Is an increasing question of mine. I mean, punks are awesome, punks are great. Like, the easiest play was punks at 50 grand going to 150 now, like it was please just so obvious, right? But like, you gotta think that like one thing that we haven't seen a ton of in NFTs recently, we started to see a little bit of, we haven't seen a ton of, is the like someone comes into NFTs and buys $1 million worth of NFTs, right? And it was very common that they just sweep punks. And so when we see someone's going to come in with $10 million and just buy punks one day, and punks are going to go up a lot in price, I think that that's like something I've had very high conviction in. If you want to make a bet on like, that's how the like big money, someone worth $1 billion or a couple bills just comes in and buys 10 mil of punks.
Oh, it could get really weird. Because think about it somebody happened. Right, but think about it like this, Spencer. Somebody that's actually purchased a Picasso for $18 million. $18 million, go look up big art sales, ladies and gentlemen. Go look up Basquiat art sales over the past half decade and let me know how much one painting by Basquiat sells for. What if one of those dudes decides, you know what? Yeah, I'm in on this digital stuff. Let's go. Like, what is that going to look like?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, but like, again, like, it's not what if, it's like, this has happened a couple of times and like, will it happen again? Like, probably. Right. And so, you know, like punks are just punks, right? Like it's a pretty easy index to play on ETH, I think. I think it certainly goes up in US dollars. The question is like, if ETH goes to 10K, do punks go down in ETH? And I like, don't, I feel like they probably do. Right. That's the issue, is like, if ETH rips too hard, punks might not be good ETH beta because they may go up in US dollars, but down in ETH. But then you got to catch yourself and be like, well, oh, if ETH goes to 10K, like punks are still probably half a mil. Like, you know, you look like, I don't know, right? There's like,
well, when I bought the pudgies, I was betting that the pudgies would outperform Ethereum because I had 20 Ethereum sitting there. And I was like, I think that this is actually just better parked in pudgies. And it was correct. Now one pudgy is 20 Ethereum and I have more than one, you know, I have more than that.
Yeah. Perfect. And you didn't even remember to claim your DIM.
So I don't like admin. I don't know what to tell you. Like people just cannot understand. They're like, how did he not claim it? I'm in front of a computer like 13 hours a day. It's a lot, guys. And I'm thinking about actual important shit. I'm not thinking about clicking buttons on a website. I'm trying to like build an empire of bodagos. So sorry, everybody.
Bullish on the bodagos. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Like this is it. Is like, you know, if you did too much admin, I'd be concerned. So. Like, so okay. Well, we're just going down the list. The other one is like Staked Blur or Blast Bridge, right? And the beauty of this is, I said everyone should have ETH. you can have ETH and have Blast Exposure too. This is the beauty of Blast Exposure, is that you can just bridge it. And not only do you have ETH exposure, you have staked Lido earning ETH exposure, but on Blast, right? Like, this is one of those, like, this is the beauty of that play. It's like, you don't have to choose whether you have ETH exposure or Blast exposure. You can just have both, right? And like, as a matter of fact, it's probably a forcing function. Like, think of all the people who bridged their ETH that might have sold it, right? Like, you can't sell it. Oh,
that's I actually love that, because so many people are tempted to sell, which is hilarious, because to me, selling before new all-time high, when all-time new all-time high is literally inevitable. I mean, I just feel like, do you not understand like the math of it? But anyway, real quick, Spencer. Well, first of all, if you can, it would be cool for you to stay while we talk to Richard and the Tensor team to kind of introduce you guys on a podcast. I don't know if you guys have met before, but that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm happy to stick around.
That's kind of fun. And then secondly, so there's a new fund that's been launched, Spencer, in the kind of NFT space. And look, we know that Spencer Ventures is significant. We know that Spencer Ventures is probably right now the number one fund, but everybody knows that in crypto, nobody is safe and there's always somebody trying to eat your lunch. Clemente's launched a fund, Spencer.
Clemente. Yeah, so Spencer, we actually launched a Bodago Super Pact, is the name. It's a work in progress right now, but it's strictly ordinals. It's a multi-sig that we've split seven ways.
What was the initial capital raise on that?
0.03 Bitcoin each. Actually, it was 0.02 to get the Quantum Cat. We couldn't get the Quantum Cat, so then we added a little bit more.
Six guys, 0.03 Bitcoin each. So we got seven guys. So we got 0.21 Bitcoin in this bad boy.
Yeah, and Got Bounce is our lead researcher. Got Wood. He calls himself the Kathy Wood of ordinals, basically.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So are you scared, Spencer? Are you scared?
Just so you know, we're actually operating in a niche that you're not actively participating in. So actually, we have a little bit of an edge. It's the bleeding edge technology of ordinals. So we're kind of getting really deep in the weeds there.
I've always said, like, you know, there's not many funds that do what I do, but in the future, there will be, right? And so it's not about, like, it brings joy to my heart to see others coming into the space and doing the thing, right? And so I am excited about the Bodago Super Pack. I think it seems primed for success were I to make an uneducated guess here, right? And so
the fund that started with 0.21 Bitcoins and seven guys that are literally saying we're only going to buy ordinals only, that's poised for success, Spencer?
Look, I think it's poised for success because it truly can't fail, right? If it goes to zero, it's about the friends you've made along the way. And if it goes to the moon, then it's the greatest story of all time. And so this is the thing, too, is like, you got to understand, the bigger your fund is, the harder it is to return. So it sounds like you guys have a very doable task ahead of you. Like, 4xing 0.2 Bitcoin is much easier than 4xing 200 Bitcoin, right?
And frankly, we have people lining up at the door asking if they can join. They're like, hey, can I join the Bodago Super Pack? We're like, hey, buddy, simmer down. We're going to start small. We're going to 0.2 to 0.1 Bitcoin. Get that orange-eyed ordinal maxi biz, and then we can talk.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I think the funniest thing would be if a lot of people actually did join the fund just because they think it's fun and interesting. And before
like
you know
60 it, a 60-person fund with half a Bitcoin in it, and well, like the votes take months. They're like, do we buy this? By the time they finally buy it, the price is up 6x, and they're like,
So transaction also takes months because it's on Bitcoin.
So that
a 2 month period.
I think it would actually be a hoot if you made like the world's most inefficient DAO on Bitcoin.
I love that. I think the funniest scenario is if this thing actually ends up with any amount of real capital in it. Like if this thing's ever like 30 grand plus, I think that's absolutely hilarious. But anyway, we got Nick joining the show, ladies and gentlemen. Pumped to have Nick here. But we have a very important special guest. Shout out to Tensor, the leading NFT marketplace on Solana, our newest partner. You heard us announce this week. We have the co-founder and CTO, Richard. Richard, what's going on, amigo?
How's it going, Pio? Great to see you guys again. Feels like it was just literally 2 days ago that we met up.
Well, would you look at that? It was 2 days ago. And then, of course, we have team member Speaks. Speaks, nice to meet you, amigo. Never talked to you in person.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well, going very well. So look, I want to just kind of set the stage here. Tensor was founded in March 2022. I'd love to hear from Richard, like a little bit about the mentality here, because people have actually asked questions to me since we announced the partnership. I've been giving them my explanation, but I'd love to hear from, you know, a co-founder himself. What made you so focused on Solana from the beginning and continued, you know, having that continued focus on Solana?
Yep. So this requires probably some context of why we started Tensor to begin with.
Sure.
Basically, me and Ilya, my co-founder, we both got into NFTs right around like the peak bull market of 2022. We were trading JPEGs back and forth, both on Ethereum and Solana. And at the time, like gas fees were ridiculously high on Ethereum, right? It was like $50 for gas fees at the very minimum to trade on OpenSea. I just felt like that was not the consumer experience that we envision NFT trading to you know, going forward when millions, if not billions of people start doing this stuff. And so that's when we saw that Solana was basically taking off, because everyone who was priced out of $50 gas fees are now going to Solana and trading all of these fun NFT collections that are being created there. So there was like the Degen Apes, there was like the SMBs, the D Gods, you know, all the good stuff that are still like blue chips now, but gas fees were basically negligible and people were having a lot more fun. And like one other gap that we saw in the market was that a lot of the existing marketplaces felt like you were trying to flip JPEGs on eBay versus trying to flip JPEGs on Binance or like a Bloomberg terminal. The downside of like using eBay is everything is a bit slower. And oftentimes when you try to like sweep the floor, everything is gone by the time you do it. And that was very frustrating for us. Like just trying to like sweep the OK Bears Mint was extremely frustrating for all of us. So the OK Bears Mint was probably the biggest impetus in us deciding like, hey, we're going to build a much faster, slicker experience on Solana so that people can basically trade this stuff a lot more efficiently.
Well, Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are we still on Solana now? And I think there's a very important reason there, and that is we think that we can create a very powerful NFT ecosystem where instead of trying to go to every other chain, right, and trying to build the exact same thing, which is take the Tensor UI, copy and paste it to Ethereum, copy and paste it to Aptos, Sui, whatever you call it. One exciting thing about Solana is I think the pieces and the fundamentals are here for us to build something that is compelling enough to bring people in to the Solana ecosystem and start experimenting with NFTs here. And that's because like new innovations like compressed NFTs on Solana basically let someone mint a million NFTs for less than $100. And you can't really do that on any other chain. And what that means is that someone like, let's say a company from Web2 who wants to experiment with NFTs, they can do so economically viably, right? They can mint a million NFTs, experiment with it, give it away to like their million users on their main like Web2 app, and it would only cost them $100. And so like, there's a lot of greenfield here. We think we can do a lot. We can push this space forward by quite a bit. And it would just be a distraction if we tried to go to other chains.
I love it. I mean, Nick's been reading this book, The One Thing, and it really does sound like you guys are focused on, you know, one area of the market, which I love, versus trying to, you know, compete on multiple fronts. Can we talk a little about, you know, what people can expect from Tensor in 2024. It's poised for a big year. Obviously, we just announced our partnership with you. You guys have a partnership with Mad Lads, which I find very interesting. I'm a Mad Lads holder. Would love to hear what 2024 looks like for Tensor.
Yeah, let me speak quickly on the high level, and maybe I'll throw it to Speaks so he can give his view from a marketing lens. High level for 2024, and I made a post about this like 2 days ago, is that we want to align ourselves long-term with the best people in this industry. And what does that mean? So we like the Backpack guys a lot, right? They're building this much more transparent centralized exchange where, unlike, you know, predecessors that kind of like blew up in the past, they basically show you where all the funds are at all times. Their team is awesome, right? They've built so much of the fundamental building blocks on Solana. We just trust them a lot and we want to work with those guys. And they have the Mad Lads collection. So they're full on like crypto native. They understand the ecosystem. They know how to play the game. You guys as well know how to play the game, right? You guys actually took the leap of faith to create the Bodago's collection to try to understand the NFT ecosystem more by actually like creating your own collection. And that speaks volumes to your guys's like degenness, right? You have to be degen enough in the space to be a successful founder. And I think you guys have basically demonstrated that so far. We also think you guys are one of the best in the space when it comes to the content creation side. Like Sergeant of Solana creates some of the most memeable content. We love it, right? Especially the video you guys dropped about the partnership with us, I think like 2 days ago. That was incredible. Like that,
Thank you.
Our team was just like laughing on our, like laughing all over the place, right? It was such a well-produced video, and we like people who can think creatively, and we want to work with you guys long-term.
Solana salute!
Thank you, Richard. Thank you. Speaks, anything to add?
Yeah, just to echo what Richard is saying, like, we really double down on like big partnerships, people we want to work with long term. So I guess like the rest of this year, there's going to be exciting stuff with you guys. I'm really, really looking forward to dropping like multiple things, both with Nifty and with Bodago's, and also with the Backpack Exchange guys. Like when we do a partnership, we go big, and there'll be like multiple phases to keep people excited. There'll be something for everyone. So it's going to be a fun year, I think.
Hell yeah. And I have a few more questions. If Nick or Spencer or anybody easy, Clemente has any questions, feel free to weigh in. Also, just want to remind everyone that the giveaways, Clemente, and correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, the giveaways are happening at 10:15 a.m. Eastern time. Am I right about that?
Yeah. At the end of the show, we'll reveal, we have three giveaways that we're running, 7 Bodago's and a Tensorian that the Tensor team is going to give away thanks to their creator contest that they've been running.
Absolutely love it. And, you know, Richard, you're the CTO of Tensor. With Spencer earlier in the show, I was talking about like user experience versus technical depth. In my opinion, from my experience using Tensor myself, you know, I feel like you all have both, but I'd love to know the way that you think about that when building an NFT trading marketplace and sticking to it and not trying to compete on a bunch of different fronts. You know, how do you kind of balance user experience versus technical depth and just build the best product possible?
There is something that is, it's a trade-off between building something that is hyper-complicated, will let you do everything under the sun. That's sort of like the technical depth piece. And building like a really like powerful pro product. But there's also the side where we understand that a lot of our users may not need all of these complicated functions to trade NFTs. All they want to do is like have a buy button and a sell button. So we've tried to like balance that quite well on the UI, in that for those who've used Tensor already, you know that we have a light mode and a pro mode. And that's our way where we can have all the depth that a pro would need. So someone like Easy, right, who's looking at charts all day, he can like go ham on the pro mode and have all of the fun things that he wants as someone who is looking at charts all day. Whereas someone who may not care for the charts or maybe don't want all of this complicated things flashing on their screen every single time, they can just switch over to the light mode and just have a very nice, your standard eBay-like interface, but it's also still very fast. It gets the job done. Our uptime and, you know, the reliability of our platform is 99.9%. And that gives you confidence that if you're trading on Tensor, you don't have to worry about missing out on the next big mint when stuff is just flying off the shelf.
Yeah, I mean, love it. Very, elegantly put, or eloquently put, I should say. Easy, Nick, Clemente, anybody?
Yeah, I do got to say, I get myself in trouble on Tensor. Despite looking at the charts, I dive into YOLO buys a little more than I'd care to admit. So the entertainment product that lets me participate at a fraction of the cost. Dude, the sound effects are like the most addicting thing there. Like, hands down. It reminds me so much of loot boxes in CSGO, which is a personal vice that I have. For sure. So, I mean, you guys absolutely crushed that. I say as I'm YOLO buying Marms right now. It's definitely something that I've found a ton of enjoyment in. And you guys, like I said, just absolutely crushed that. The price locks is the other thing that's becoming like inherently extremely, extremely interesting to me. And taking the long and shorts on that, I do have some questions on it. Is there any anticipation of like moving that more towards like traditional finance style where you can actually exit those sooner or later? Or do you think it'll always be locked to like the 7-day timeline?
So there's definitely a lot of flexibility in how we can, have a shorter period of time. Right now, we haven't really gotten there. Like, in theory, we could have like a 1-day lock, or even like an even more degen one where it's like 1 hour and you're literally just like sitting there and hoping that the price moves within an hour, that would be really fun. We just haven't gone around to it because we want to first like ensure that there's enough liquidity on the 7 day stuff. Everyone's like focused on the 7 day locks before we start to have some of these maybe shorter durations or even longer durations to like cater to different strategies. On your point about entertainment or like having fun, I think that is exactly why most of us are here in this in crypto right now, is to just like have fun, bond with our friends that we've met in crypto, and just like degen into the next NFT project. So that's why we've made our platform both like a utility product where you can get your NFT trading done, but it's also like half entertainment, where we have some fun features like YOLO Buy. We have Price Lock, which is more on the degen side, where there's a bit higher risk, but it's also a bit more fun, but especially when like stuff moves in your favor. That's how we think of like NFT trading, is we want to keep it fun, but we also want to make sure that all the guys who need the charts and all the cool features have it there at their disposal.
So I haven't actually used the YOLO Buy feature. Easy, what are you doing with that?
Dude, it's like hands down the most addicting thing in the world. I have a blast with this thing. You basically have an option for a collection, right? If you're on Tensor right now, it's got a little dice icon next to it. And when you click on it, it gives you an option to choose your odds of how likely are you to be able to win this asset, right? If you miss the asset, you earn Tensor points. So you still get something out of it, which is probably a large reason why I keep coming back to it. But usually, man, I crank it up to like 60, 61%. I like a little more than half on that. You know, that's usually where I'm sitting. And on Marms, I actually like try to be strategic about this. I look for ones that have low gaps in the instant sell offer and the floor price, so that there's like a better margin if you hit and can dump into an instant sell bid. So at 61%, you're paying 2.97 SOL and can instant sell it for 4.3. So right there, you're already making 1.3 SOL profit if you hit. If you miss, you lose the 3 SOL though. So you're essentially taking a swing on this at 3 SOL and hoping you hit. So you don't basically lose.
What you're saying, you're looking for these that have these dice to it, and then you end up buying. And do you place the amount? So when you go into this, it's not available in my region, but basically
not available in the US and Canada. But if you're anywhere else in the world, you'll be able to play this.
Easy happens my screen to be based here in Korea, so that's a good
thing. Yes. Yes. If you want to take a look here. If you want to take a look here, I'm in Australia at the moment. I'm in Australia.
Let's go. You're down under. Let's go, Easy. Let's go.
Yeah, well, I'm ready. I'll share right now. We're spinning right now if you want to see. We got the spin
going.
Yeah,
we want to see. We want to see.
We got the spin going. We're going to see if we hit this marm. Hope for me, man.
Hit
hope
the marm, baby.
Big money, big money. Yeah.
Let's go.
Luckily, I am based in Florida, so it is just a quick boat ride to Bermuda where I am right now.
Oh!
Damn, Tent. Got my points. I'm not mad about it. We'll bounce back. You know, let's run it again.
Back to back. Wait, keep it going. Keep it going. We're running it again. What are we doing?
Running it back. Running it back.
God, let's go.
You got to hit one.
I need this.
Mama needs a new marm.
I feel like I feel
Mama
it.
Needs a new marm.
It's about to
Mama
hit. Yeah, Daddy needs a new marm for sure. Oh, man.
I'm sweating.
How long is that thing going to be spinning for?
So it's on. Well, it's on chain, so it is running a transaction. Like, so okay. There is verifiable randomness that comes into play with it, which is nice. Like, you can check and see. So that's like the big piece to me. It does run the on chain side of things.
God, only possible on Solana.
So how much?
Solana might also be running a bit behind.
Yeah, which is also the other side of it. I'm doing 2.97 SOL at a 61% hit rate right now. We won, boys.
Let's go.
What is up? Papa got a new mom.
Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about. Damn, son, that's what it's all about.
This? Damn. Okay, that was fun. Spencer, introducing you to the Tensor team here. That's kind of fun to introduce you on a live show in front of an audience. How's it going, Spencer?
Well, it's great to meet you guys. Taking a look more closely. I think I've actually used Tensor a couple of times. To trade Bodagos, but I'm exploring some of the more in-depth parts of the interface, and it looks like you guys have a lot of different stuff here, which is super cool. Kind of a lot of different products rolled into one. I think that's one of the cooler things that like exchanges can do, so it's exciting to see the progress made on Sol. Easy is always telling me that Sol is ahead of ETH, and this product definitely looks like that.
Well, there
I
you go.
I think like the Sol community is we're definitely a bit more degen compared to the Ethereum community, so we can try out like more fun things, and they tend to like get a lot of traction because people just want to have fun on Sol. Not saying that Ethereum guys are
so back in my day, people used to have fun on
ETH. Kind of fun.
We were exactly. It once, and you are were too, and one day you won't be it, and it'll be weird and scary, like whatever. But but I think this is one of the funnier arcs of like the Solana community is going from like the poor chain to now being like rich, and but maintaining that you guys are in like the fun middle ground where everyone is still like suddenly has money, but is also like still as degenerate as they were when they didn't have money, and is yet to transition to like the next part of it. And so actually that like on Ethereum, that was like DeFi summer, right? That was when the breeding ground of a lot of that stuff happened, was like everyone on ETH was like suddenly rich again, but like was maintaining the like bear market degeneracy from when ETH went to like $100 and everyone was like eating ramen noodles. And so I think this is a very like fun moment in terms of what the like Sol culture is.
Hell yeah, absolutely. Clemente, we have this giveaway that we're running right now. Am I right about that? It's past 10:15.
Yeah, it's ready to go. I just picked the winners. I'm ready to announce them.
Go ahead, please.
Hell yeah. First winner for the One Bodago giveaway that we did yesterday. This was for just a quick one we did. All you had to do, anyone could participate. You just had to comment a little handshake for Nifty and Tensor. The winner is O'Henry. So this is O'Henry. I apologize. This guy, nice little galaxy Bodago. So shout out to O'Henry there. And the other winners, these are the six winners for the Bodago's giveaway we ran Wednesday, just wrapped up. I'm just going to rally, get them out real quick, and then I'll post it right after this. But we have Jack GK won a Bodago.
Oh, shout out to Jack GK. Very nice. Big fan of Jack.
Otto won the second. Fibrated won the third. I'm a Cookie won number four.
Whoa! I'm a Cookie. Take it easy there, big dog. Right.
Solmorai won number seven, and NFT Crack won number six.
Oh, shout out to NFT Crack. NFT Crack makes super funny collages based on the show. Made one recently with Nick.
And if those people floor it after they listen to this show, I'm gonna hunt them down. I'm not going to like threaten them on this show, like explicitly. But implicitly, okay? So I just want to implicitly threaten these people. If you're out here just flooring the giveaways, shame on you and your family.
Maybe we do a Nick the Bounty Hunter character, you hunting down the giveaway floors. I kind of like that. We can give you the blonde wig.
Actually find their house and knock on the door to a degree that makes them uncomfortable. That's what this show is all about.
Hey!
But Nick, what if they floor it and then go roll the dice and they could end up with two Bodagos?
Heyo.
Oh, I like that. Is that enabled on our collection though? Like, I think that's collection specific, right?
No, it's definitely enabled on Bodagos. So
okay.
You could in theory win 100 Bodagos with if you sold one, because you could just roll it at 1%.
How does the system determine which of the NFTs are enabled for this?
It is NFTs that are listed on Tensor. So for those who don't know, like Tensor aggregates a bunch of marketplaces, but the ones that are listed on our marketplace or our contracts will have YOLOBuy enabled.
Okay.
You know what this bit reminds me of too? Yeah. So I was actually in Miami recently meeting with the Pudgy Penguins team, and they were like a little bit lamenting. They're like, man, there was a time where we used to give out like five little Pudgies a week. Like now they're like, that's like, you know, $6,000, right? I feel like this is that moment where you look back on the show and you're like handing out Bodagos left and right, and you're like, man, like ultimately, how much should we give out? Like, oh man.
Oh no,
I even look back to when we were at like sub two.
I've given away $10,000. Yeah, $10,000 of Bodagos easily, and it's going to get worse, obviously, over time. That's a hilarious perspective that you're giving, Spencer. Look, Richard, anything else people should, or Nick, did you have a question? Sorry.
No, I was just going to include the fact that we burned a bunch of them as well right before Badagos ripped him.
Hey, that they ripped because of the burn. Richard, you know, obviously we've really enjoyed having you and learning more about Tensor, and this is the first of many conversations that we have. You know, anything else people should know about Tensor in 2024? Anything that people should do right now if they want to learn more about Tensor or just participate besides just using the platform, tensor.trade?
Big things are coming this year. One of the big efforts we're pushing in 2024 is to try to make Tensor decentralized so that people like, you know, you guys can build like a Badagos marketplace just for your holders that are entirely branded with the Badagos experience. We have other dApps that are building on top of us, and we want Tensor to essentially become this just this base layer of liquidity where all the NFTs are listed into, all the bids go into, so that anyone can sort of like access this basically a million plus NFTs by now on any other or on any front end and any interface. So that's the big exciting plan for us in 2024. But also like just working on our brand, working on like our collections partnering with each other. I think that's going to be huge in 2024.
I agree. And, you know, something that you and Ilya mentioned at lunch this week really stuck out to me is that for you guys, you have that long-term vision. So when you partner with us for a year, if you partner with Mad Lads for the long-term, right, there's things that'll come out that aren't in the initial game plan, right? There's things that end up happening that are sort of like happy accidents. And the only way to put yourself in that position is with a long-term view. So we're insanely excited about 2024 and beyond, quite frankly. And we just can't wait to you know, kind of see what comes of it. Look, ladies and gentlemen, shout out to Richard and Speaks from the Tensor team. Check out tensor.trade. Clemente.
Speaks was going to announce the giveaway for their creator bounty that they were running, with the grand prize being a Tensorian. So this Woo! Is a huge giveaway. Speaks, I'll let you take it away, and I'll share my screen at some of the winners. They're pretty freaking awesome, I will say.
Yeah, let's run this quickly. This was really good. So this was the first time we've done this. We ran a great creator bounty, essentially people making different content around price lock. So there are three different categories, a meme category, a video walkthrough of the product category, and then like a deep dive thread. So it's over $10,000 worth in prizes in value, with the grand prize being a Tensorian. We literally just dropped the winners just now. And I believe Clement can drop that, pin that tweet as well for the Spaces guys as well. But yeah, some absolutely banger entries. Really pleased to see different people in the Solana ecosystem and beyond making content. Let me just quickly give a shout out to the category winners, if you like. Sure. And then you can dive into the thread as well if you want to see a bit more detail. So shout out to Tyzo Bloom for his meme category winner. This is the song. Maybe we can listen to that later. I don't know. We should run that. It was really good. And then the thread category winner, shout out to W Soren. Really, really cool thread. They even had custom graphics, like proper deep animations for each of the different parts of the thread. They absolutely smashed it, and the content was spot on. And then our final category winner was Little Unusual HQ. Shout out to them. Amazing deep dive video thread there. Some great motion graphics that really made sense and broke down the product. Again, with like really helpful information, really concise, everything you needed to know there. So shout out to those people. Make sure you check out the thread as well, because there were some second and third prize winners. These guys all won some USDC, and our grand prize winner was Tyzo Bloom with their video. They absolutely smashed it. They had the Slack, the Tensor Slack jump in from this tune. It was really, really funny. He's actually got like a strong TikTok following. He does like other content. I didn't realize until after I'd seen his entry. But yeah, he's the grand prize winner. He's won the Tensorian. So thanks to everyone who took part. There'll be more fun activations like this. But yeah, we need to run this because this was a good one.
Absolutely. Clemente, can we play this and listen to it?
Yeah, here we go.
Got to price lock it. It's a 7-day lock on the NFT. Short. You can start earning Tensor points easily. Short. The fees are small, around 3.8. If it goes your way, then you can start making bank. It's not a perfect price lock. chill, you can start making bank. It's got a price lock. Got a price lock.
Got a little Mark Rebier inspiration there. That's a lot of fun. Well, shout out to all those winners. 10 grand in prizes in that giveaway. That was funny. That was pretty good. Not surprised that guy won. I'd love to see anybody out, outdo that one. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, check out Tensor.Trade. This is not the last time you're going to be hearing about Tensor this year. It's the platform that we use when we're buying Solana NFTs, and we couldn't be more excited about the partnership. Make sure you follow Richard and Speaks and Ilya, for that matter, on Twitter also. We'll make sure that we have all their Twitter profiles handy. Thanks so much for joining the show, gentlemen, and we'll have you on again, obviously.
Dude, thanks for having us on. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Do more. Guys.
Yep. Of course, you already know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time. If it's your first time listening, the show is available on many different platforms. If you're a podcast listener, Apple and Spotify podcasts, you can listen to the show at 1.25x speed. You can take it on the go. You can share it with people outside of Twitter, whatever you want to do. The video feed for the show is available on YouTube and X platform if you'd prefer to watch the show and see the on-screen graphics and actually see us have the discussions. Make sure that one more time you follow Tensor on Twitter. The account is on the stage and it's tensor.trade if you want to trade Solana NFTs on the leading NFT marketplace for Solana. We will catch you guys next time. Thank you so much.